Good morning on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Take your hymnals, please. Turn to hymn number 68. 68, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. Hymn number 68. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Hymn number 68. Turn in your hymnals again, please, to 538. 538, I'd love to tell the story of unseen things above. 538. the last stanza, when we get to the refrain, you know the refrain, just look up and sing out. On the last.
To tell that story. You sang it beautifully. When was the last time you told that story? Have you ever told it to anybody? We need to be careful of the songs we sing and the words we say. And I trust we do love that story and we love to tell it. And we're looking for opportunities to tell it to those who need to hear it. Let's turn to our memory verses in Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, we'll say the reference and the verses together. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Thank you for coming today and being here in this service. Appreciate all of our regular folks who are here week after week. We're also grateful for those who are visiting with us this morning. And if you are a visitor today, I'd ask you to take a visitor's card out of the book rack in the pew in front of you. Fill it out. Put it in the offering plate when it passes by. We'd like to know you've been here. Like to know something about you. Thank you for doing that. Remember, this evening we'll have our service here at 5:30, but it will be an abbreviated service. This is the day that we've been looking forward to, many of us for a long time, the beginning of our Outreach 2000 crusade at the Palmetto Expo Center. Hope we can have that building filled to overflowing tonight. Don't stay away because you think there'll be too many folks there. Everybody gets that idea, then there won't be anybody there. So I hope you can come. Now remember, if you can only go to one service, you don't feel like you can go to both, I'd encourage you to go to the service at the Expo Center at 7 o'clock. We'll be out of here by 6:10 and have plenty of time to get there. If you need a map, a little uncertainty as to where to go, what part of the Expo Center this service will be in, there are some maps at the reception desk that I think are very explanatory and hope you'll take one. If you want to leave your car here, you can do that, and we'll have three buses at least available to take you out to the Expo Center and then to bring you back afterward. And that will be true each evening, Monday through Wednesday as well. But I hope you've been praying. I hope you've been telling that story. I know none of us have been doing it like we probably feel we ought to be doing it. But let's really claim. Mrs. Washer's been praying for a thousand unsaved people to fill those chairs. And let's keep on praying for that. A lot of other instructions in the bulletin here. We went ahead on a step of faith. I hope it's faith and not presumption. And made a certain number of reservations for the luncheons tomorrow and Tuesday. Men's luncheon tomorrow, ladies' luncheon on Tuesday. Therefore, we have some tickets available today for both the men and the ladies' luncheons. And if you were planning to get a ticket or two and you didn't, Paul Wickensheimer will have those available after the service today. Of course, we'd like for you to bring an unsaved or unchurched person with you, but anybody that you can bring, any friend that you feel could benefit from it, and I feel like I'm going to benefit from it, we'd like to have you come and do that. Remember, the tickets are $10 each, and that's only a part of the price the full price. The other part is being underwritten. And we'd really like to have a good number. So if you haven't gotten tickets yet for the men or the ladies luncheons, you can do that this morning. And I'll remind you that again of that again. And if you have any of the materials that you took to pass out, and you have a lot of those left. Now, if you have a few, you might want to use them yet this week. But if you have a lot of materials that you didn't pass out, please bring those back tonight, and we'll take them out to the meetings, and others can use them there. Some have said, are we going to be taking an offering here this evening? We will, as our regular offering. There'll be no offerings taken at all at the Expo Center. That's all been underwritten. I think we have sufficient for that. It's been given by the participating churches, so there'll be absolutely no offerings taken at the meetings. We're grateful for the progress we're making here on our capital improvement fund for our activity center. If you look at that thermometer today, we're moving up toward that $1.3 million mark. Trust we can be there in order to start the construction of this building by next spring. But keep on praying about that and keep on giving as you are able to do so. Every year we have a Thanksgiving project, take a special Thanksgiving offering at our praise service. And this year this offering is going to go toward the Bethesda Outreach Project of Evangelical Baptist Missions. 6,000 moms and dads are dying every day of AIDS in South Africa, leaving tens of thousands of children orphans. And while EBM is not going to be able to minister to all of these, they believe they can start something that maybe others will pick up, and that many of these children can be cared for, and not only cared for, but also be given the gospel. So that's the purpose for which our Thanksgiving offering will go. And I have a number of these gleaners if you'd like to. The whole thing about concerns that situation in South Africa. If you'd like to have a copy of this, there's one available at the reception desk, and quite a number of them there for you to pick up. Remember Wednesday evening, no service here. Everything at the Palmetto Center. I'll probably think of other things before the end of the service. This is the last Sunday that the Carl Wheelers will be with us, and we're going to miss them as they go from us. Continue to pray for Mrs. Wheeler's physical condition. And then Gary Wheeler, and this is another family of Wheelers, Gary Wheeler's mother passed away this morning. His folks had just moved here a couple of months ago to be near other members of the family, Gary and other members of the family. And she had congestive heart failure, passed away this morning. We don't have any details about her service, but we will be announcing that. But let's pray for Gary Wheeler and his family. Had a report from Jim Martin this morning. He was doing good following his second surgery, but he began to bleed in his spine last night, which the doctors say is quite serious. They're trying to get that to stop. Would you pray that pleases the Lord they would be successful in that, and that Jim could continue with his recovery from this surgery on his spine? They had the vertebrae, three of them removed in the first operation, and as much of the tumor removed as they could get, and the second surgery was for reconstruction of his spine. But pray much for Jim, our organist for many, many years, very faithful. Helen Johnson is in Greenville Memorial still. Martha Vanderveen at the St. Francis Family Hospital. Shirley Magnuson is now home, but she's going to be confined to home for a number of weeks. She's still very weak. Let's continue to pray for her. And we want to remember again Dr. John Dreisbach and his family upon the homegoing of Mrs. Dreisbach this week. I want to pray for ourselves, and let's pray very earnestly for these special meetings that God would be able to bless them in a wonderful way. For our offering today, we'll go for our regular budget needs, and thank you for serving the Lord in this way through this ministry, that we might have our ministry here and that we might reach out through our missionary endeavors to many other places in the world. Please join me now in prayer. Lord, how blessed we are to be able to call upon thy name, to be able to bring before thee the desires of our hearts, the needs of many of our people, and the need of our community. Lord, we long to see a fire of revival begun in our community. And I pray for these services beginning this evening. Lord, you will help us to be faithful. Faithful in being there. Faithful in praying. Faithful in inviting others. Lord, may there be a harvest of souls. But may there also be an igniting of a fire in our hearts that will burn brightly for a long time to come. We pray for some who've seen the billboards and the yard signs, who received the business cards and the brochures, who've gone to the website. Lord, thousands of people have been exposed to the information about these meetings. And you know the ones whose hearts are hungry. And I pray you would draw them there and that they would open their hearts and receive Christ as Savior. We remember those who are ill today. I pray for Jim Martin. Lord, that thou wilt have your will done, and may the doctors be able to treat him in such a way that this bleeding will be stopped and that he can go on in his recovery. Pray for the Wheelers as they go from us, especially I pray for Mrs. Wheeler's health. Remember Gary Wheeler upon the loss of his mother this morning, that you will comfort him, comfort his dad, sister and brother, and other members of the family. Lord, I thank you for Dr. and Mrs. Dreisbach and their long years of faithful service. And now as Dr. Dreisbach has been left alone as far as his partner is concerned, strengthen him. And I pray you will continue to use him to be a blessing to many, and especially to the overall cause of missions. He's had such a part in world evangelism, and may you continue to bless him in that way. Now, Lord, we commit our time of giving unto thee this morning. Thank you that we can serve thee with material resources and receive spiritual blessings from doing so. We come to thee today in our Savior's name. Amen.
Take your hymnals, please. 433. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. 433. Let's stand as we sing the first and the last stanzas.
Thank Dave Parker and Bill Eddings for taking care of the music today while Dave Christ is away from us. This service is from Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Pastor Dave Yurick, and today I'm going to be speaking on lapses of faith. In a minute, Mary Troop is going to come and sing for us, minister to our hearts. But first of all, let's read our scripture for today in Hebrews chapter 11. Looking at verse 8, Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And then verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Father, thank you for all you've provided for us. Thank you above all for faith. You are the source of our faith. And Lord, we know we have no means in ourselves to have faith, to build faith. It all is from thee. And I pray that as we see something of ourselves this morning, as we look at the lives of others, I will speak to our hearts. And Lord, again, if there is someone here who has no knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ, as personal Savior, we pray today for their salvation. Lord, that they would be willing to cast themselves upon Jesus, receiving that wonderful work that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, and accept the gift of eternal life that he alone can give. Lord, we're blessed today just to be able to be in a service like this. May we not take it lightly. Lord, may we acknowledge that it is because of thy love for us that every good thing we have is made possible. We ask all of this and pray all of this in our Savior's name. Amen. For many years, the Old Rugged Cross is considered a favorite gospel song in America. We've kind of gotten away from it now. We don't hear it very often anymore. Don't sing it too often. We still do here, and thank Mary for sharing this message and song with us this morning. A few weeks ago, my wife and I went to Pennsylvania to see my sister, and we stopped off in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to see a sight and sound production of the life of Abraham and Sarah. It was magnificent. The production of it was excellent. The story was true to the Bible. And the fact that salvation is by faith and not of works was brought out time and time again. Some of you have seen other presentations there. And there are tens of thousands of people that go by there and see those productions. But as we watched the unfolding of the story of Abraham and Sarah, saw their triumphs of faith, we also were presented, because the Bible presents them, some of the lapses of faith to be found in the life of Abraham and of Sarah. Abraham was a great man, considered one of the greatest men who has ever lived. He is known as the father of the children of faith. The Bible calls him the friend of God. We read this morning of the things that were accomplished in the lives of this couple through faith. And yet they were human like all of us. And they had those times when their faith was weak. And there were lapses in the faith that they possessed. We want to look at some of these very briefly. First of all, in Genesis chapter 12, we meet Abram as he was first known, in the opening verses of this chapter and in the closing verses of chapter 11. But he had now come out of his country and away from his family, went out into a land that God was going to show him, and yet he didn't know exactly where he was going. He went out not knowing whither he went, but by faith he followed the Lord. And now he's in this land, and something happens. A famine came into the land. Abraham had many flocks and herds. He was a wealthy man. He was a great man as far as material resources were concerned. And food and water was very important to this man because it was needed to keep his flocks and his herds and his servants alive. And there was a famine where he was. And we read in verse 10 of Genesis 12 about the famine. And then it says, Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And this is taken to be as a time when Abraham failed to trust God as he should have trusted him and as he had been trusting him. Failed to believe that God was able to provide for him, even in the time of famine in the land. And instead of waiting upon God, instead of believing God and what he was going to do, he gathered everything together and he went down into Egypt. And Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. So instead of trusting God, he was trusting now in the world to provide for him what he needed. And we know what happened as he went down into Egypt, that he told Sarah not to admit that she was his wife, but that she was his sister. And he got into trouble and difficulty there, and got the Pharaoh in Egypt into difficulty as well. And it came about because of a lapse of faith in the life of this man, who was a man known for his faith. So we see even the greatest of men, the men with the seemingly the greatest faith, can run into difficulty, which Abraham did. I turn to Genesis chapter 16. God had promised Abraham an heir, that he would be a father of a son. But God's promise had not been answered, not been fulfilled. I'm certain that Abraham and Sarah had prayed about this, and they had said, Lord, when are you going to fulfill your promise? When are you going to give us a son? And finally, in chapter 16, we see them taking the matter into their own hands. And Sarah suggested something that was, I guess, rather common at that time, that because she could bear Abraham no children, that he would enter into a relationship with her handmaid, Hagar, and have a child by her. And that's what happened. Abraham listened to her, and Hagar conceived and had a son. And we know again that all kinds of trouble has come into this world because here was this man of faith who had a lapse in his faith, took matters into his own hand, listened to his wife instead of listening to God. And over in the Middle East today, we're still having problems that all can be traced back to that very time. Another lapse of faith in the life of this man. In chapter 18, well, first of all, in chapter 17, it says in verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. What a fantastic statement. What a fantastic promise from God. How did Abraham react to that? Did he say, thank you, Lord, for confirming this? Thank you, Lord, for renewing this promise? No, it says in verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Where was his faith God had just spoken to him. He laughed at it. Can it be? Then look at chapter 18 where these angels come. And they tell Abraham that Sarah is going to have a child. Look at verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham laughed at the promise of God. Sarah laughed at the promise of God. A lapse in their faith. We go to chapter 20 and we find a similar experience to that which they had in Egypt. It says, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. You would have thought that Abraham would have learned his lesson down in Egypt. All the trouble he got into there because he hadn't told the full truth. She was his half-sister, but she was also his wife. Now we see him repeating the same thing. She's my sister. What does it show us? Another lapse of faith in this great man. Known for his faith. Commended to us in the Bible as a man of faith. And yet there were times when his faith failed him. He's not the only one we read about in the Bible who had a lapse of faith. Let's think about Elijah. Well, first of all, David. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20. Saul has been rejected from being king of Israel. David has been anointed to be the king. Now, that didn't mean that he became king right away. He didn't, because Saul reigned for a long time after David was chosen by God and anointed by God to be the next king. But that promise had been given to David. Now look at chapter 20 and verse 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And where is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. David said, Saul's going to get me one day. I'm just one step ahead of him. He's out to destroy me. He's going to do it. How could Saul do it when God had already said David was going to be king, when David had already been anointed by Samuel to be king? How could Saul kill him? He couldn't. David was immortal. But his faith was weak. He had faith when he went out and faced Goliath, took that sling and those few stones and slew the giant. That was an act of faith on the part of David. He wasn't qualified to do that. But his faith was so vibrant and strong. And now, he says, there's but a step between me and death. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. Elijah, the man of God, had been up on the mountaintop, had great victory against the prophets of Baal, calling down fire from heaven when they were unable to do it. My, you would have thought Elijah would never have doubted God again. He would never have doubted the power of God again. But in chapter 19, we see him now out here in the wilderness. Verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. Oh, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Where was his faith? Where was his trust in God? Where was his remembrance of this great deed that God had done on Mount Carmel? There was a lapse in his faith. His faith was weak. Look at one other in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. This concerns John the Baptist, the man who had proclaimed there was one coming after him whose shoes he was not worthy to unloose, who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But now, John is in prison. And in verse 2, he says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" John is having second thoughts about whether Jesus was who he said he was, apparently. "Are you really the one that God has promised to send? Are you the one that I announced? That I said about you, you must increase, but I must decrease? Or are we to look for somebody else?" John the Baptist was a man of tremendous faith, but his faith was weak on this occasion. And so we too have our lapses of faith. We trust in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We've accepted Him by faith. We've accepted His gift of salvation by faith. But there come those times in our lives when our faith is weak and we suffer like Abraham and Sarah did, and like David did, and like Elijah did, and like John the Baptist did, and like many others have done over the years. The times that we are most likely to have a lapse of faith include when we fail to believe the promises of God. God has given us hundreds and thousands of promises in His Word. And He has told us that they are all yea and amen. They're all ours through Jesus Christ. But how many times we fail to really lay hold on those promises and to believe those promises. Because of a lack of faith or a weakening of our faith. When we neglect our fellowship with God and His Word and in prayer and gathering together with God's people, we can suffer lapses in our faith. If you neglect the Bible, you don't regularly read the Word of God. If you neglect prayer, if you neglect the coming together with God's people, you're going to suffer lapses in your faith, and can happen to any one of us. We suffer a lapse sometimes when we get into a tight spot. This is the day after Veterans Day. Thank the Lord for our veterans who are here today, and those who have done so much for our country. But some of our veterans can give testimony that even though they went into battle as Christians, the battle was so intense. The danger was so great that fear came upon them and their faith grew mighty weak in a foxhole or in a ship or in a plane. And often when we get in a difficult situation, the very time we need robust faith, the very time we need all the faith that God has for us, instead, there is a weakening, there is a lapse of our faith. Our faith can grow weak when we don't have clear leading from the Lord. We have decisions in front of us. We have problems to solve. Had a lady call me this week. I don't know that I'd ever met her before, but she called me on the phone. And she needed some leading in her life. She told me she was a Christian, that she knew the Lord. And she kept saying, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" She didn't have the leading of the Lord. And I tried to convince her that the Holy Spirit would convince her that God could help her and God could be with her in this and God could give her wisdom. She needed wisdom. God could give her that wisdom. But there wasn't the evidence of that faith there on her part that God was going to do that. Doesn't our faith grow weak sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers like we have asked Him to? So many of us are in that situation today, following the election. We prayed. We worked. We did everything we could do. Oh, I don't mean we exhausted everything, but I mean we tried to do what we could do to see that the lottery was defeated. Prayed about that. I'm sure Christians all over the state prayed earnestly about that. Did God answer that prayer? No, He didn't infringe upon the free will of the voters. He let them vote for what they wanted. God usually doesn't infringe upon our will. So, but we may say, well, what was the use of praying about that lottery? Or we look at the presidential election. What was the use of praying about the election? Chances are it's not going to go the way we wanted it to go. And oftentimes, when we don't get our prayers answered, we begin to question God. And we begin to say, well, does God really hear me? Is it worthwhile praying? What's going on here? God has said He'd hear my prayer and He'd answer my prayer, but where's the answer? It turned out exactly the opposite. And our faith is weak. But on the other hand, our faith can also lapse when we feel that we don't need God. You remember back, some of you, to 1980? We've been praying that Ronald Reagan would become president. And he became president. And we rejoiced in it. But I'm afraid there was almost the attitude there, now that we have Reagan, we don't need God anymore. Now, we wouldn't admit to that. But I think we began to trust him for the well-being of our country, rather than saying, we need God. And maybe God is putting us in a difficult place here at this time, so that we won't get to the point where we say, well, now we have a good president and we don't really need God's help. I say, we wouldn't say that in so many words, but that can be the attitude of our mind and of our heart. And when we think we can get along without God and everything's going all right without Him, that's a time we may cut down on our praying and cut down on our Bible reading and cut down on our trusting. And we have a lapse in faith, not only when times are hard and times are difficult, but we can suffer a lapse of faith when times are good and everything looks rosy. We suffer a lapse of faith when we've tried and failed. And who among us hasn't tried various things and failed at them? In the midst of trying, we believed it was what God wanted. We believed we were seeking after the will of God and that what we were about was of God. And yet we failed. We downright failed at it. Moses had that experience when he went into tell Pharaoh to let the people go. And Pharaoh said, I'll not let the people go. And Moses went out saying to himself, what's going on here? I've tried. I've done what God told me to do. And God said He was going to lead the people out under my leadership. And Pharaoh says, no. He tried and failed. Oh, how weak our faith can become when we fail at something that we attempted to do and weren't able to, for one reason or another, to accomplish it. And then our faith can lapse when we're overcome with a sense of our sinfulness. We're not often overwhelmed by our sinfulness, but we should be. And when we are, we look at a holy God and we look at ourselves, and we may even begin to wonder if God loves us or if we love God. I mean, we're so sinful. We've gone so far away from what is right. We've known the depths of depravity, if not in our actions, in our thoughts and in our desires sometimes. And we just see ourselves as so sinful that we wonder if God, even God, can do anything for us. So at these and other times, We like Abraham, and like David, like Elijah, like John the Baptist, and like millions have gone before us, suffer from a lapse of faith. Now, how do we deal with it? Briefly, we need to increase our time in the Word of God and in prayer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The first remedy for a weak faith is the Word of God. There is nothing better. Nothing, absolutely nothing better to build our faith and to increase our faith and to strengthen our faith than the Word of God. But in these lapses of faith, the Bible may remain closed. The dust may gather on it because we fail to open it. Our faith is so weak we don't even open it and read it. No matter how much we're reading the Bible, when we've gone through one of these difficult times in regard to our faith, we need to be reading it more and studying it more and meditating more and more on it, because it is the one means that God has provided to give us faith. We know that verse so well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, reading the Word of God, reading books about the Word of God, hearing preaching on the Word of God, but the Word of God itself is the main means of faith. Secondly, we need to act on the faith we have. Sometimes we say, well, if I had more faith, I would do this. If I had more faith, I would attempt this. God wants us to act on what we have. The disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. He didn't say, I'll do it. He said, if you have faith as the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can remove mountains. That's what the Lord was telling the disciples. You're asking me for more faith. I'm telling you to use the faith you have. Employ it. Act on it. And as we use that faith that God has already given us, I believe we'll see our faith strengthened. We'll see it grow. We'll see it be more effective in our lives. And then thirdly, we need to be certain that our faith is genuine saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. James said, the devils also believe and tremble. What did he mean by that? That they believed in Jesus Christ as personal Savior? No. They believed in the existence of God. They knew well that there is a God. They knew well the power of God, and the demons still know it today. But there is no trust in God. There is no belief in God. There is no acceptance of God as Savior through Jesus Christ and as the Lord of their lives. So we can believe a lot of things about the existence of God and about the person of God without having that genuine saving faith that changes us from a sinner bound to hell to a saint bound for heaven. So, if we're suffering these lapses of faith over and over and over again, that'll be of concern to us. For us to examine ourselves, as the Bible says, through Paul, to see if we are in the faith. Yes, the lapses of faith are common. We've all experienced them. We're going to experience them again. But I'm glad that Abraham and Sarah overcame those lapses. They died in victory. David died in victory. Elijah died in victory. And I believe John the Baptist, even though he missed his head, I believe he died in victory. And so can you and I. Go to the Word of God for faith. Act on the faith we have. Make sure that our faith is genuine saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you understand us. You know the dust of which we are made. We're so weak, so sinful. Lord, I'm thankful to Thee that You give us faith to trust You, to trust Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as personal Savior. The faith to walk with Thee day by day. The faith to take us through the trials and the difficulties and the experiences of life, as hard as they may be. We need not be defeated. We can be victorious. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We're in an uncertain world. We're disappointed over many things that have happened this week. But we're still on the victory side if we have Christ. Lord, You're still in control of this universe. You put up whom You will and You put down whom You will, and the heart of the king is in Your hand. It's hard for us sometimes to believe that, but we do believe it. And You'll turn it whithersoever You will. Lord, my greatest concern this morning is for those who may be here in this auditorium or who may listen later by radio or who may download this service on the internet, who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. They do not have genuine saving faith. They believe about You, but they don't believe in You. They know of You, but they do not know You. Father, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice, may Your Holy Spirit really get a hold of their thoughts now. Get a hold of their hearts. Help them to see that there must be that time when they yield their all to Thee through Jesus Christ and just put their trust in Christ and that work that He accomplished on the cross of Calvary when He suffered, when He bled, when He died for our sins. And Lord, if we're depending on anything else, that's not genuine saving faith. Bring someone to Yourself today and encourage us as believers as we look at the experiences of these other great people. And as we look at our own experiences, encourage us, Lord, to know that we need not suffer loss, but through faith, we can be victorious. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. No, I want the invitation. We'll have an invitation hymn. Let's stand together. And we'll just ask the instruments to play "Just As I Am" without one plea. Would you stand with me, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As the instruments play this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not certain that you do, would you just step out and come and let us meet you here at the front? Someone take you to a quiet place and show you the plan of salvation? Or if you as a Christian need to come and kneel at this altar, or you need to come and talk to one of us, may God help you to do it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People will step aside if you need to step out and come, and I hope you will today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I think we know that first stanza. Dave Parker leads us. Let's sing that first stanza, "Just As I Am." And this is God's opportunity for you. If you're not sure of heaven, you're not sure your faith is genuine saving faith, or if you as a believer, you're suffering a lapse of faith, you need some encouragement today. Would you come? Let us pray with you. Let somebody help you. God above all wants to help you. Let's sing it together, Just As I Am. Father, we're grateful again for the open door of opportunity that you give us to come to Thee. I pray that during this Outreach 2000 crusade, that there will be many that will come to Christ and be genuinely born again, coming to know Him as personal Savior. Lord, I pray again for a fire to burn brightly in the hearts of those of us who are believers. That after these meetings are over, we won't want to be what we were before. We'll want to be different. And Lord, we can be. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you. It's the source of our faith. Help it to mean more in our lives. And Father, I pray now that as we go, that thou wilt take care of us, give us safety on the road, and bring us back this evening and then on to the services at the Palmetto Center. In Christ's name. Amen.